This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is a Radio Free Cybertron episode. I can't find it. What?
I was wondering how you were going to work that one in.
It's episode 404.
And at episode 500, we have to have like some critical failure.
Oh, yeah. If we make it to 500, we'll see.
Oh, we will.
Yeah. I say, well, I'll do that as speedo.
You know, if we
that would be a critical failure.
If we hadn't stopped.
Because I would be pulling my own eyeballs out.
If we hadn't stopped, we'd be like at 800 or 900 now.
Wow.
I know. It's terrible. Hey, I'm your host, Brian Kilby. With me, we have Headmaster Don, Chris, Diecast, Matt, a.k.a. Melvar, John Luna, and Rob Clay. No Rob Springer this week.
Sadness.
Oh.
Hey. So I want to get this out of the way first before we get to happier tidings. So this episode will go online on February 12th, 2015, which marks the one-year anniversary since JD's passing. I was talking to JD's wife, Amanda, today, and I miss him so much. So I still do. That pain hasn't gone away. We miss and love you, JD. So, you know, you're here in our hearts. So, we're the Transformers Internet Radio Show. Actually, I say we're the Transformers Podcast. I can say the Transformers Podcast because we're the first one, and I can just keep saying it forever. I never have to pretend that – I never have to admit that any others exist because they don't. We're the only one. And
but I thought we weren't threatened by other podcasts anymore, Brian.
We're not.
What happened to that?
We are very podcast-friendly. We are – actually, Toy Fair is this weekend. And many of our Transformers podcasting friends are going to be on.
Yes.
So folks from Transmissions, TFYLP, we got one guy from TFYLP right here right now.
Hi, Don.
We should have some representation from Shattered Cast and Old Oil House. My God, wow. It's a Transformers podcast cornucopia.
It's like Journey to Babel, but for Transformer fans.
I don't know what that is, but I agree. What was that?
Star Trek episode.
Yeah.
Which episode was that?
That's the one that introduced Spock's father.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that for
how
some reason.
How?
I don't know. I should know that. It's like the Dweller in the Depths. What's that? I don't know. No. I should.
It's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. What's that?
I should know an episode of Star Trek by name, but I didn't know that one. I turned in my nerd card. Okay. So Toy Fair is this weekend. Diecast will be there celebrating Valentine's Day.
With his toys.
With his toys. And
alone.
Hundreds of men cramped in
a small, dark room.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, all right. I'll be stroking Titan Devastator before all of you.
That's okay, true. I have to say this, though. Hundreds of men in a small, dark room playing with their toys. JD would have loved that.
He would have.
Yeah,
that's true.
He would appreciate the imagery.
Yes.
But while Diecast is there, we will be here comfortably in our chairs analyzing the news that he is sending us. You can follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for all of the latest news that Diecast will be breaking. And we will be here live at tfradio.net and tformers.com analyzing the news as it comes
in. Metaphorically breaking, not physically breaking the
that's
item.
That was somebody else.
Yeah,
and
we
make sure
about
you follow
week.
Us on Twitter at TF Radio because that's where all this stuff's going to go.
And like, where was that again?
You can follow us at TF Radio anyway all year long because we're great.
Yeah, we're awesome. We are the Transformers Podcast after all.
And I still like the title of Transformers Internet Radio Show just because, you know, nostalgia.
But people don't know what that is.
And one of our greatest things is how subtle we are.
We're amazing. We're
humble.
We're humble. We are so freaking amazing, and we're humble about it, too. So, Toy Fair, we're going to see lots of awesome stuff. It's our favorite time of the year, and it's going to be great. Diecast, like I said, will be there. And thank you so much for taking time away from Kim on the most romantic day of the year.
Brian, maybe we should be thanking his wife, really, for, you know, letting him leave.
I know.
Or she may be thanking you guys for getting me to leave.
Maybe.
Well, you know, next year Valentine's Day falls on a Sunday, so
yeah,
that'll probably be 2 years in a row.
Oh, God.
Sunday.
So, yeah. But, yeah, so Toy Fair, it will be great, and we'll be here for about – we usually shoot for about 6 hours of live streaming from 12 Eastern time, usually till about 6 o'clock, and then we'll have a condensed package available at tfradio.net and at YouTube that will basically summarize all of the news. But it's really fun. Join us. It'll be great, and we will love you for it. And tell your friends. We'll retweet the stuff as it comes in. I don't care if you have 2 followers. Retweet it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those 2 followers need it. Mm-hmm. Hey, also, guys, thanks for covering last week. I was out, and Chris and DieCast did a phenomenal job. It took 2 of them to do the work that I do each week. But
I dispute that because I have all the technical skills and the resources necessary, except for the connection speed to actually get it done.
Sure. Okay.
So.
Again.
I know.
We are the internet's most humble podcast.
You have remoted into my computer and ran the show before.
Yes, I have.
That's been years ago.
Yes,
but that was fun. God,
that
didn't
was
we,
the most amazing BotCon experience without being there.
That's how we did BotCon 1 year. I forgot about that. Fortunately, this year
that's how we did BotCon 2010.
Yeah, fortunately, we should actually all be at BotCon this year.
Yeah. We should all be there, and we will have the resources to stream out live again like we've done in the past.
Yeah.
So we will be all good.
It'll be great. Hey, another reminder, last week we told you about the Google Plus move, but I had to shut down the old Google Plus page because it didn't link up with all of our other Google services. Thanks, Google. Yep. So go to tfradio.net/gplus or... you can go to google.com/the+ Radio Free Cybertron, 1 word, and you can do
or
that too.
Or just go to tfradio.net/gplus because it's way the hell simpler.
Yeah.
Seriously, Google Plus, what's up with your URLs?
Yeah, I know. But that's pretty great. Hey, and guess what John and I did this weekend?
Come on, you're gonna have to bleep this out if we really say what you did this week.
So we did a new episode of Get the Skinny. We actually sort of started over from scratch. That was a show that JD and I did back in 2011. It's about the original intent was sort of like health, wellness, and dieting from a skeptical point of view. I think this is how would you describe what we're doing now, John?
Well, I think we're it's the story of two men on a fitness journey, and we're going in 2 different directions, but you're free to join one of us along for the ride.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun, and I think it's I would say hopeful, but hopeful implies failure at some point. No, it's going to be it's certainly a positive show, very positive vibe. So I think it's going to be cool.
Yeah, I agree.
You want it to be an inspirational journey.
Yes.
That other people can follow along with.
Indeed. There will be no failure. There's no fail.
None. It'll be great.
Yeah.
And awesome. Let's go ahead and jump to This Week in History. Wish Rob was here, Rob Springer. So in 1997, the Beast Wars episode, The Low Road, premiered in the U.S., which was Carry the One, 18 years ago. The Low Road could vote.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's also legal. Like otherwise,
God.
But I'll fill in since we don't have Rob Springer here and just sum up the episode in the only appropriate way. Rhinox farted.
Yeah, we actually did an episode of Transformers Rewind about that. I should probably link to it. Just go to YouTube and search for it.
I think that was one of the ones I ran.
Yeah, of course.
Which
you
means
did.
It was great, by the way.
Yeah. How is that episode like viewed in hindsight? Now?
Bad.
Ha! Hindsight.
It's not good. It's
Thanks.
Not. I don't think it's fondly remembered.
Oh, I still think it's hilarious.
Well, it's a lot. I think people like it just when they need a laugh, but it's not one you point to show off the show's strongest points.
It's certainly not essential viewing for the series, but it really highlights the sense of humor the show could have. Because like it's 22 minutes about a fart joke, and it still plays just fine.
Pretty much.
And you know they can never get that produced today.
The only reason it could have been in the first place was because that was still the age of first run syndication, which had less restrictions than network programming, network original programming. There was less oversight, and a lot of the stuff that Beast Wars got away with could only happen in first run syndication. That's why, like you say, we can't ever have that again outside of like Cartoon Network prime time, in which case 5 episodes and it's canceled.
So, what's the over and under on Robots in Disguise having a fart joke?
Yeah,
like no. Just one somewhere.
Yeah, no, Grimlock may actually.
Or the whole episode, basically, you know, leading up to a fart joke.
Right. I mean, one of the villains is a lobster, so who knows what could happen?
Yeah, named Fisk.
Yeah. Oh God. I'm going to approach it with hope. I'm going to give it more. For goodness sakes, I have to. Got it. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm looking forward to it. I'm a 35-year-old man. I'm watching cartoons. I got to, you know, have some sense of humor.
If only we could get a U.S. air date announced, because it's being announced for everywhere else in the world already.
I'm thinking about dropping.
If you don't get it at Toy Fair, I will be amazed.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about that? I don't think the show's getting weirder. I think we're getting older, so it feels weirder.
Yeah.
So I
agree.
I'm thinking about dropping cable again, just because, and getting the Sling service, which is available, and it happens to include one of the channels it has to happens to include is Cartoon Network. So like $20 bucks a month for like 10 or 12 channels.
It's not bad.
Just have something that runs on in the background that I don't have to, like, you know, worry about going to Netflix or Hulu and just having stuff run. I think it's pretty cool. Okay, let's jump into the news. So the best news ever came up this week, and Don called it a couple weeks ago.
Thank you.
Machine Robo, Masterpiece Toys, for those of you not in the know, Machine Robo is the Japanese name for what we got as GoBots. And it's glorious.
Yes.
And we're not going to get it here.
Well, we'll be able to import it from Hobby Land Japan.
It's just... I would love to see these in, if they could be on card or in a box with the same artwork with Leader One plastered across the front or Space C across the front. It would be somewhat glorious to see the toy come full circle. But you know, it's definitely on my radar, especially if they do, you know, Man of War.
So in the U.S. Hasbro owns the rights and names of the GoBots, but the likenesses are still owned by Bandai.
Right. That's why we won't be getting an actual GoBot bot concept, because we've asked for that for several years. There's been several good molds, like you know, the animated Starscream mold could easily be redone to a Leader One and so forth and so on. But there's that fine line between what Hasbro has and what Bandai has that to actually get a set done.
I'm buying all of this crap.
Oh, yeah. There's no...
Aren't they like 50 bucks a piece?
I'm buying it all. I don't care.
Yeah.
Oh, my
okay,
God.
So they're 50 bucks a piece, and they're about Masterpiece Bumblebee size and robot mode.
I paid more than that for Masterpiece Bumblebee. I will, for God's sakes, have a Leader One in Psycho.
From what I've gathered since this news is broken, the designer for these toys is actually someone who's at least contributed to the designs of some prominent third-party Transformers.
Really?
Because people have observed some similarities between this and certain subsets of fans' projects output, including their not-Stunticons.
So, this, with the backing of Bandai, this certainly has to be better, right? Maybe? Maybe not?
I mean, that's a design thing, not a materials thing.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The engineering behind it.
In turn, that would be saying that third party is better than the Hasbro offering.
We've seen a lot of design aesthetics from third party that were really novel and unique, and we've seen some engineering being created in the third-party realm. Now, whether it can carry over directly or not is up to the company, but, you know, there's still innovation going on.
Yeah.
These right here are just a product of them looking outside their in-home innovations to see what other folks have done. I mean, look at Tank. Look at Blockhead. Tank was as simple of a go-buzz you could get. and they've turned him, even though he still retains a lot of the same look in his robot mode, the vehicle mode is just radically altered, but you still see the same designs. I see that in all the ones I'm looking at right here, other than Spacey having the most direct number of changes as far as from the original figure. But what I'm seeing here, I'm loving. Blockhead looks great. Leader One looks great. Turbo looks great. Swoop, which is one of the rare GoBots to get, is a SR-71 Blackbird. Always a classic good-looking figure.
Wants it.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, these they look nice. They should have pretty good engineering just based on like the purported pedigree of the designer. You know, not everybody's a fan of everything that's come out in that style in the third party Transformers realm, but there's good design stuff in there. And yeah, I mean, just for another example, Jizai, who did the designs for Fans Project's Headmaster figures, has done licensed work also in the past. So, I mean, at least as far as the market goes in Japan, it is possible to go between those worlds without there being inherent problems with it. I don't think Hasbro would necessarily employ someone who's been known to work with the unofficial product, but especially since it's in the Takara project, you know.
Yeah.
There's definitely room to move between those worlds, and it makes an interesting situation, I think.
Yeah, and you know, a really good third party designer. You know, having a third party toy, even if it does violate trademark or IP, it might not be a bad portfolio to have if you actually.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, so even with Hasbro, if you're good enough.
Yeah, I mean, what it comes down to basically is this person has a whole selection of things they can point to and say, I designed this. Yeah, we sold these without a license, but that's your competitor, so I don't think that really matters to you because I haven't done anything to your IP yet. Maybe without the yet. and also, since these are being produced for the Japanese collector market, you know, Japan doesn't have the same kind of safety regulations that we have for toys.
Safety regulations?
Yeah, they don't have that like we have here. So, you know, these toys don't have to be – these can be designed more the way the third-party toys are too. They don't have to meet
the
stringent criteria to not get your ass sued off if a child hurt themselves on an adult collectible.
Hey,
Brian.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to ask you one – you're probably the only person that really appreciates these for what they are. But now some of the characters like
screw Turbo, you too, Don.
I know. I mean,
man,
I'm saying,
Don, how's my chin looking tonight, Don?
I'm sorry. I meant that. I'm saying as far as looking forward to actually getting these figures in hand, Brian and I are probably of all of us, we want to get those more than anybody else.
I want a leader one.
Okay, keeps well going. Then I apologize. I didn't realize y'all be getting those. But well, then this is for all of y'all then. The characters that have guns like Turbo, who didn't have guns in the TV series, the Bot series.
Shooting fists.
Yeah, do you want to see a third party do the Snap-on, like, energy blast?
Oh, that'd be great.
I thought about that the other day. That, I would love to see that. The Snap-on, like, energy blocks that you see from the cartoons and stuff.
I mean, it's not like Bandai doesn't know about GoBots. I mean, right. Bandai could conceivably include it.
And the thing is, too, it's not like Bandai is any new party to effects part sets.
Right.
Yeah.
There is a whole subset of their collector business that is all about making, you know, energy blast explosions, smoke trails for rockets, you know. Even without the connection to the GoBot series, almost anything could benefit from a well-made set of effects parts like you're thinking of. So yeah. I don't think there would be any problem with that coming out regardless of the channel as long as it's done well.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Hey, so let's go ahead and jump to the next item. And I'll have to admit, when I had to read it like 3 or 4 times to get it. And I am obviously stupid, so this is the reason. Hasbro and IDW celebrate 10 years by extending their relationship. I'm like, oh, great. So how are they extending it? What? Oh, they're just literally extending the duration of it.
Yeah.
So 10 years, IDW took a while to get their bearings on the where they wanted to go with the books.
Let's just say there's been ups and downs over that time.
But it's mostly been ups for the last 4 years.
Well, and you know what? Like, Simon Furman's original run was pretty well regarded. Things didn't start looking bad until the reboot happened, and they threw out all the stuff he was working toward, basically.
And that's when they lost me.
Right. But the point is, like, you know, IDW hasn't been, like, garbage and then just, you know, in the last 3 or 4 years found their upswing. Like, you know, it started with a pretty strong fan response. It was pretty positive until All Hail Megatron, and then it just kind of...
Yeah.
Nobody appreciated the reboot all that much from the look of things. But the way things are going now, I'm happy to, you know, have word that the license has been extended and things will be continuing, you know, into the future still.
Yeah, pretty excited.
I saw they're extending their relationship right around Valentine's Day. That's so sweet.
You know, I can't even imagine that was an accident. I think that was just for the thematic effect.
I hear David Kay talking for some reason. Never mind. David Kay, the Insight commercials.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, he does those?
Yes.
I did.
Yeah. Okay, so Hasbro's Cartoon Library returns. So, end of the year, disappeared from Netflix. Now it's on some website that's not like a weird Russian or Chinese pirate site. It's like a real streaming service that's ad-supported. So that's kind of great, but I can't get it on Roku, so...
Dude. I've never heard of this.
I didn't either until this came up.
What's it called?
Tubi.tv?
Tubi.tv.
Tubi?
Oh, it's Tubi.tv?
Yeah. Tubi.com.
Tubi or not Tubi?
TubitV. TubiTV. TubitV.com. Yeah, so, you can watch all the stuff. And,
Yeah, they have they got G1 on there. They have the Unicron trilogy, and they have animated.
They have one good series. Yeah.
Well,
two and a half.
I mean, they have Bot and season 3 on there, so that's mostly good.
Yeah. And they've also got season 2, which balances out how horrible season 3 is.
Screwed on.
John.
So let's see. Oh, so I like this.
Yeah, man, what got in Don's bowl of coffee tonight?
No, I'm just tired of everybody dissing season 2.
It's
season
bad, Don.
It's a good season. Don, I'm tired of you dissing season 3, so impasse.
Yeah. So the EM Gokin Jinrai figure, which is it's
a licensed Power Master Optimus Prime Gundam.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the looks of it. So I like Gundam.
Really?
I do, yeah.
I don't like it as God Jinrai, but yeah, that is a nice Gundam.
It's a Gundam.
Yeah.
It's
tell me you're going to explode now. You just said the magic phrase.
Yes.
It's a Gundam?
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's no Trion 3, but it definitely is nice.
So it's not a kit.
No.
This would be great for like a master grade kit, and I could take like 14 hours to put it together.
It kind of reminds me of that DX9 upgrade kit for the Evasion Mode Optimus Prime.
It's like a cross between God Jinrai, that Optimus Prime pen, and like a Master Grade kit.
If you think about the toy, the original toy, and the way it looked in Master Force, there's a big stylistic difference
nothing alike.
Right. I mean, the points are there, but, I mean, everything has changed. And the DX9 kit plays up that angle. This takes it to, like, the Liefeldian extreme.
I do like it, I have to admit. I really do.
Except that it has feet. I mean,
I really like this. The waist is a little small.
He is very crotch-tastic.
But, I mean... Yeah, but it's definitely it's an interesting piece to have as a take on the character. You're right; it's so Gundam, it just needs to have a little, you know, V crest, and then you're just set.
Yeah, I mean this is like taking the anime stylization and then pushing it to yet another extreme, and it's a little bit far afield for me. I have trouble actually seeing the origin point in it, and. It especially has this Gundam feel to it from the semi-realistic guns they've put with it.
Yeah, those I was going to
totally
ask.
Beam rifles.
Yeah. Like, or even machine guns. I mean, yes, Don?
Yeah, I'm just saying, where are they getting that gun from? And any kind of relation to God Jenra? I mean, it just does not exist in his orbit.
Right.
Yeah.
Does God Jenra have a sword?
No.
But it's very anime, so there you go.
Yeah.
So this right here is awesome, and I honestly just saw this photo. I just linked to it based on the show, put it in the show notes based on the name of this news story. Ultra Metal series to feature Ultra Magnus with removable armor. So, holy crap. I want that, though I would have to put out a second mortgage on my home.
Yeah, so, if you remember the Ultra Metal Optimus Prime, that was
cost
about
$800. Yeah.
This is going to cost right about $1,000.
I don't want to see this.
I want to see the prototype just to see physically how they accomplish this. Because from the control art on the card in the background, you can kind of get that this is just going to be separate armor chunks
snaps on around
the figure. But even so, that could go badly. I want to see this be executed. I don't want to own one. Like, I have no aspiration to own this because I don't think that style of armor for an Ultra Magnus is the most interesting thing, even though I have a City Commander, but that's a little different. I always liked Ultra Magnus better as
a Transformer.
More what the Masterpiece is, where the whole outer armor thing is its own full
a self-contained figure.
I mean, I still like the cab. I still would like, cab robot that can be separated from it. But, with a modern take on it, I want it to all be one piece on its own so it's not compromised posability.
Basically, it's just giving God Bomber to Magnus instead of God Jenra.
Yeah. I value my marriage too much to buy this.
There's too much diabetes in my family. I need both my kidneys.
Yeah. I would love it though. So if any listener wants to buy it for me, you can send that too.
But I've never been a big fan of just. I mean, I know it was Dreamwave that started the whole White Magnus Optimus thing.
The original toy started that. Don't.
Well, I know, but I mean, it didn't get popular as far as a thing.
It wasn't really published in the media, I don't think.
Yeah.
In any meaningful
way. When he first showed up in the comic, I'm like, what the. I hated that so much. Yeah. It looked so stupid.
But I will say I like this because the teal really pops on that body.
It does.
I mean, for a white painted Optimus that's supposed to be Magnus, that looks great. But when we've got this, I mean, really?
Yeah.
You know?
So, next, what you can own, though, is Generations Leader Class Megatron. Where is this at? The Philippines?
I was going to say, you can't own it yet.
Malaysia,
I haven't seen
Malaysia.
It.
Yeah.
So, he is getting in the hands of people basically between mainland China and mainland U.S. So, if you are in the Pacific Ocean, you have a pretty good shot at finding this, I guess. Some photos look better than others.
He looks really unhappy. That photo that I just pulled up, I'm like, he's like really like pouty, like something just.
I would be too if I had those legs.
Yeah. I just added another link with some extra pictures that show it with Masterpiece figures.
He looks frumpy. I mean, he kind of looks like Biggest Loser Megatron. But I want it.
I mean, the tank looked. Looks great. I mean, you can't really complain about the tank, I guess.
The face is a pretty good rendition of the original animation model for Megatron. I'm just not sure if that's what I want in a Megatron anymore.
So how long until do we get the G2 Megatron from Takara?
Yeah.
Too long.
Well,
because
I imagine there's going to be a bit of a break in this, while they're doing combiner stuff. But, end of the year, maybe?
Yeah.
It looks like he's just like, oh, I'm stuck in this body again. I'll have to make the best until something better comes
along.
See,
these photos look better.
Yeah.
But they're farther away. It's harder to see the figure.
He's wearing black, and he's not wearing vertical stripes. So it's a little more flattering.
This is like they're saying, like, we don't have a good Megatron or Masterpiece Megatron, so here he is next to MP10, just so you know, like, you can put him there for now. Hopefully, I mean, we'll get you a good Megatron.
Between this and the existing Masterpiece Megatron, I would definitely favor this.
Yeah.
Well, it's like I wrote when I put these pictures on T-Formers. This is a perfectly valid substitute until a real Masterpiece comes along.
I think so.
Yes. Yeah. But I will say the definite angle of the picture makes him look better in a second sense.
Yeah.
So it's definitely one of those toys that has to be photographed right. To get the look across.
But honestly, to me, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
I was just gonna say there's definitely good visual qualities about that. But what were you saying?
I was just gonna say, to me, like, I'll probably get Apollyon before this figure, and depending on Apollyon, if he looks good next to MP10 and he doesn't have serious, you know, quality issues that KFC or X-Transbot's known for, if it's a good, decent, solid figure, that'll hold me off till, you know, if it takes another 3-4 years before we get a Masterpiece Megatron.
Hmm. Yeah, we'll see.
And, like, I'll be honest, just with where the IDW comics are at this point, I would prefer something, like, at least facially a little bit more to the Alex Milne art style than what this is. And even though it's from a different point in time, the Mega Steel, that third-party Megatron that we've seen the test shots for recently, in some ways that looks better too, but honestly, this is looking pretty nice as we're getting more photos of it. I wish it seemed a little more poseable than it is.
Yeah, we have been hearing that the legs are a little bit limited from people who have gotten it early.
I watched a video review about this, and Megatron's pelvis armor comes up from below, so, like, it locks around the waist and it restricts the leg joints themselves could move freely without that there. And with the armor locked in, it restricts the hip movement.
So he's wearing a diaper is what you're saying.
Pretty much.
Or a codpiece.
Yeah.
Diaper.
Yeah.
Nice.
No, just like there's odd design choices with this that seem to hinder things the joints could otherwise do with no problem, and it's a little frustrating just from looking at it at this point. I kind of think it's going to feel a little bad getting it in hand at those points.
So Megatron is what, 31 years old now? The characters. He came out in 84, so he's 31.
Yeah.
That's a little young for diapers. But you know where he could get diapers? He could go to Amazon through our link at tfradio.net. /Amazon. Yeah, I know it's really forced. And he could actually get his adult Decepticon diapers there.
Well, of course.
And that way.
No, go ahead, Brett. What is that, I guess?
I was going to say, in that way, you know, he doesn't have to be embarrassed by going into the store.
That's exactly why I get stuff through Amazon. And you know what? You can too. Just go to our website and click on the Amazon link. Won't cost you any more, and I like what XV/Chris said last week. You know, it's like sticking it to Amazon. It's helping us out.
Yeah.
Helping us pay for the cost of running this fine podcast. And it doesn't cost you a cent more. And thank you so much to the people that have been doing this. We are getting sales through this. It's helping us out, and just continue to do that. If you're going to buy a $10,000 television, just do it through our link.
Yeah. Yeah. And the good thing is, if you go now and you go to Amazon and you get your undergarments and get the Amazon 1 or 2 day shipping, you'll have them in time for our TF, to our Toy Fair coverage, so you won't have to leave the computer.
Genius.
Wow.
That's
I never even thought of that.
Brilliant, Don. God, love you.
No, that is honestly a really good – that's a really good transition there, Don. I'm proud of you right now.
Buy diapers or a bucket. tfradio.net/Amazon takes you straight there, or go to
our
website.
Well, you could buy both, because once you've used the diapers, you're going to need somewhere to put the extended ones.
And what they also get, and I actually thought about getting this, was – I'm not joking. It's on my Amazon wish list – is like a safe that you bury in the backyard. People like put guns and stuff in it, but I would probably put, like, you know, buried treasure in it.
Yeah, but so then you have to dig it up every time you want to put something else
not,
in it.
Not if you, put like use adult diapers in it. You'll never want to dig that up.
Oh, that is safe.
It's cheap. TF40.net/Amazon will cost you a penny more. Helps us out. Thank you very much. Hey, so third party news. So I didn't really care so much about this, but I thought somebody might. The TFC Toys Verti Aid, the Not Blades figure. Is anybody buying these?
No.
No.
Well, that thing looks horrible.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a little trend in a couple of the third-party items this week, and we'll expand on that when we get to the next one in this series. But, no, there's definitely reasons why this is probably not the best project to pursue anymore.
Yeah.
And the next one really makes me sad, and I'll explain why in a second.
The detective?
Yeah. No, let's pull it up. So, what's so bad about – oh – yeah, okay. Sorry.
Oh, that was perfect.
So I'm having some slight internet issues. There you go. So Diecast, why are you disappointed?
I'm disappointed because I like this one and I swore off TFC. I'm not going to buy TFC again. La la la. Well, at least they're combiners now. That's what I'm going back to because this actually looks good. And I'm really shocked that I like something that TFC is bringing out. It just has that old classic look to it. I think the head's really nice. The weapons are nice. It looks like it has a decent transformation. I really like this figure.
I forgot who it was I was talking to. I was having a conversation with someone, may have been John, about this figure and the Make Toys figure that we also learned about like the same day.
the same hour,
which I'll go ahead and pull that one up. It's one of the remaster of toys, right?
Yes.
So does that mean that he's like a headmaster or something?
No, I think no, it means
masterpiece style.
Yeah, masterpiece style scale.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember who I saw bring this up, so I can't attribute the quote. But basically, between the Make Toys and the TFC version of their hounds, TFC is the one who couldn't figure out how to make hounds' feet work the way they're supposed to. And yes. I think that basically says everything you need to about TFC.
I didn't even notice the feet.
Yeah, I think the Make Toys one looks way better.
It does.
I agree with that.
I want like a blending of the two. There are aspects of each one that I like better. Neither. Yeah,
that sounds a lot like what happened with Hercules and Giant from the same company a few years ago.
Yeah, for one thing, the headlights on the Make Toys are just too big. They're not really particularly accurate if you're going for that metal Jeep.
I don't like the Jeep mode of the Make Toys ones. It's just it's not. I think the TFC one looks a lot better. I really, if I had the choice between, you know, one or the other, I'd get the TFC one.
Hound's function was recon, right? Not like a detective. Yeah. So is it because Scout? So that's Scout and the detective aren't the same thing. To me, detective should be like Nightbeat.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I don't like the name.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of think TFC and Make Toys may have been working from different starting points here. I think TFC is taking more of an alternator approach to it and focusing on building the toy into its vehicle mode.
Its vehicle mode is better.
Yeah, whereas Make Toys wants to make the image of the robot be the priority.
I'm sure that's why it appeals to me. Because it'll never be in Jeep mode.
Neither one's perfect, but like for what I would want out of a hound figure, I want the image of the robot mode. So the Make Toys one is definitely doing it better for me.
I don't like the face on the Make Toys or the Make Toys. It doesn't look like hound to me. And maybe it'll look better when it gets painted, but I don't know. It's just
for me, the headlights just really seem to pull you away from the rest of the figure.
Yeah, the headlights are unfortunate on the Make Toys one. I will admit that much.
And that may get fixed in paint, too. I mean, once, you know, it's got a bright coat of green on it, it might not.
It's a drag green.
A contrasting green. How about that?
Yeah.
But
when it comes down to it, I'm not buying either one.
I'll get the Masterpiece version when one comes out in 2014, 45 or something. It's 2014. That was last year. My God, I'm getting old.
Hey, which one are we getting first? Masterpiece Hound or Masterpiece Jazz?
You would figure we'd have Jazz already, since all the engineering was pretty much done with the Datsuns.
And the thing is, too, like
Nissans.
I think we're getting Trax next because of Chevy, because you know there's a good working relationship between the Transformers brand and Chevy from the movies with GM.
Yeah.
But you know, with Bumblebee, there's a relationship with Porsche developed now because Volkswagen owns Porsche. They can get Jazz's vehicle mode. It's just a matter of, you know,
pursuing the
business relationship that is the stronger of the two first, and working out the details on the other at the same time.
But I wonder if Jazz will be the right Porsche though, or if it'll be another. They want this model car to be like Bumblebee. Is not the right Bumblebee exactly.
That's because the G1 Bumblebee was a super deformed toy.
Yeah.
But I think Jazz would be close.
It was.
I almost think we'll get Jazz first, and follow me with my stupid, crazy logic. Because in the States, we know we're getting Blue Streak in Toys R Us soon. So if overseas, if we get, you know, Jazz, which is a figure they might have a hard time releasing in the U.S. because of licensing, they still have another Datsun that they can put in the stores in U.S. They can release – then they can release Trax, like you said, and that could be the next figure after the Datsuns that can get released in a U.S. store because they have that relationship with Chevy.
And it may be this weekend at Toy Fair we'll see, like – U.S. package Masterpiece Bumblebee sitting on the shelf like Prowl and Grimlock were. Or am I misremembering again? We talked about the Masterpieces that were at Toy Fair last year. I know Grimlock was there. I think Prowl was too.
I don't remember if Prowl was, no Grimlock.
No, it's just Grimlock and
just been Grimlock. Was it been Acid Storm?
I think or Sunstorm? Acid Storm might have been there.
Acid Storm was out in 2013.
Was it?
So it would have had to be Sunstorm if either one.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think I even saw Sunstorm.
Yeah. It might have been just Grimlock. I feel like there was another Masterpiece there, but anyway.
Yeah, I think so too. But anyway, you know, we could see an example of the U.S. release of Masterpiece Bumblebee at Toy Fair. I mean, just from what they've released so far, you know, they might be having to tinker more with the licensing to get it to release in the U.S. Okay, so I guess I don't feel like going to the TF Wiki right now to check. Do you know offhand what model Porsche Jazz was originally? Because you're the car guy right now.
Yeah, I think it was a some sort of 911, maybe Carrera. God, I'm trying to think because he had that big wing on it.
It was a Carrera. It was Tia Carrera, right? Sorry.
1981 Porsche 935 Turbo.
Okay, yeah.
And it had a number in it.
Yeah, so I mean, like, they made, it's Nissan now, so it's a different company, and there might be different requirements, but it's not like Bumblebee was a modern Volkswagen, or, you know, Bumblebee was a period-correct Volkswagen for when the character was created. I don't think there would be a problem with Volkswagen and Porsche to have the correct Jazz model.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, we've already got a Volkswagen, we've already got a Lamborghini, and, I mean,
and I think
Porsche, they're all three owned by Volkswagen, so.
And I think, honestly, like, the Jazz Porsche body is one of the more iconic Porsche designs anyway. So, like, you know, I don't think that's going to be a problem, personally.
We'll see. Let's see here. So, the next item up, Maki Toys Remaster, Cupola? How do we want to say that?
Probably Cupola.
Masterpiece size chrome dome, which is the reason.
No, you know why they named it that?
Why?
Couple of guys or a couple of bots, because it's the body and the headmaster.
So that's the reason I was thinking remaster, that it was a series of master figures and masterpiece scale.
No, it's just a series of master. It's the Make Toys series of masterpiece toys.
Yeah, but he's a couple of guys who are up to no good. Started making trouble and. Sorry.
I got one little fight and my mom got scared.
You're meeting with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air. So, he's nice looking. That's kind of my. I like it. I like that a lot better, honestly, than Code. Or not Code. What was it?
Oh my god, these names.
No, Code was the fans project one.
Yeah, I know. I said I like it better. What was the name of the original, not the repaint? Was it Code?
Yeah.
Virus was repaint. Yeah. So this to me looks more like what I would want out of a. He looks more G1 to me. G1.
Which makes sense if they're, you know, trying to play this up as being a masterpiece style
and
toy.
That's what I like about it. To me, this clicks better than Code does. Not that Code's bad, but
right.
I just like the look of this better.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed that the headmaster piece does not look a little bit more involved, considering. You know, what type of toy this is trying to be, but it doesn't look bad.
It looks, the head looks kind of like it's a legend-sized figure, but a little smaller.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it is something like, you know, Legends Legion
probably
size.
Legends, yeah, he's very Legion class.
Yeah.
I want to see this in color, and I want to see it on my shelf.
I want to see it in color. I'm not sure if I really care about it that much. I really like my fans project code, so
I didn't get it because I didn't donate whatever I had to donate and I should have. But
you know they did a second run a few months later, right?
They did. Didn't know that. Darn it.
Yeah.
you could have had it for retail price at that time, and whoops-a-daisy.
So this was a surprise. You know that Toy World Throttlebot combiner that never got finished.
Yeah,
they started like 2.5 years ago.
So how many?
Yeah, something like that.
So how many were we missing? Three.
Yeah.
Yes.
Three of the six.
They're all like coming out at the same time.
Yeah. Basically, okay. So like Grindrod was the start of this, and just by itself, that sold pretty well. It sold out everywhere after a while. The next two, not so much. Because like, one of them has been on discount for over a year by our reckoning, and the other one is readily available at full price. So, like, unless they do a reissue of Grindrod, with the amount of time that has passed between these, if you did not go all in right from the beginning, you're not going to be able to get a full combiner together.
Yeah, and of course, everyone's hoping they'll do a reissue of Grindrod, otherwise. People may not even buy these sets that now want it, but everybody's scrambling for whatever are left, and whoever has any left is going to up the price now drastically.
So thinking in terms of this being like a project, because really it is, they have to do all of the work to get it from A to B, the most important part of any project is the planning. And
there was none.
It doesn't seem like there was enough.
Yeah, it just seems like this project was, of all the stuff they have on their plate, this is the one that kept getting pushed back because of why. And it just seems that they could have gotten them out a little bit fast. Because I thought the first three, and I've enjoyed the first three. But, yeah, people who see this now and want to go back and get all the figures over the course of, say, 6 months or something.
Your SOL.
Yeah, if they don't do a reissue of Grindrod. And if you see Aurora, like we were talking about in the pre-show, Aurora's on clearance at several places.
Like $30.
Yeah. Here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with that figure. It's a block-looking figure. It's just white and blue.
So but is Searchlight.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the toy itself, don't judge that one toy by the whole wave. Grindrod is a very good figure. Trace is a good figure. Aurora's a good figure. It's just that one is not a standalone visually striking.
And the thing is, too, like, with Grindrod, it was a pretty decent, like, visual updating of the Throttlebot it's based on. But as they moved through them, the connections grew more and more distant. And that was one of the things that turned people off of getting these. Because, like, if you look at Aurora... I mean, colors aside, there's not really a lot to link it to.
Searchlight was a sports car, and Aurora turned out to be an SUV, basically.
Yeah. So, like, these may be perfectly well-designed toys. I've never gotten any. I've considered the $30 Aurora every now and then just because it's cheap, and, I mean, retail deluxes are getting closer and closer to that anyway, so it doesn't seem that off the mark, does it?
I bought Grind Rod when it came out, and it's fine. I've very enjoyable. I bought Aurora when it was
on
clearance.
You're saying Grind Rod was very enjoyable, are you?
Indeed. Yes, very much so. I bought Aurora on clearance, but honestly, they have taken so long to put these out that I no longer care.
Yeah,
and like, I mean, that's a big problem too. Because remember when the Hercules project was kicking off? That was the first third party full combiner set that anyone tried to do. And at the time, we were predicting, you know, they're going to get one or two of these out. It's going to start getting delayed and delayed, and it's never even going to get finished. It ended up getting finished ahead of schedule somehow, and third-party combiners have been doing pretty good since then. This is a very good case of when it does not work and why you need to be really cautious about buying into these projects, because, like, there comes a point where you have to decide, well, I'm either going to make the investment really early and just ride it out until the end, no matter how far down that is, or, you know, hope it all works out as planned and get the stuff as I can. But, you know, 2 years later, the first one sold out. There is no word about a reissue. And, like, a similar problem has hit TFC with their Defensor, too, because it's taken them so long from start to finish that in the time they've been building this up, Combiner Wars happened. Yeah. And we've got Hasbro Defensor coming out, which is going to be, like, a quarter of the price when it's finished and probably a better toy.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, you know what,
probably closer to a fifth of the price.
I'm being conservative.
What Brian said, too, is absolutely right. When this thing came out, when Grind Rod came out, they told nobody it was going to be a combiner.
Yeah,
they didn't tell anyone that pulled
out their Grind Rod.
Yeah, like, here's our Grind Rod. We don't know if there's going to be more members. It's just this one right now. And then Aurora came out.
Pulled out.
They're still not telling people. Like, this is good. Okay, the second one now, guess what? It's going to be a combiner. You know, get Grind Rod now before it sells out. No. And then Aurora's been on clearance for over a year because no one knows it's a combiner. And now people see that it's a combiner. And like me, I'm kind of impressed by it. I like it. But now the company is not even saying if they're going to re-release Grind Rod. So someone like me can't go out and get, you know, the other five bots because I'm going to have, you know, the not Throttlebot combiner standing there with no leg. Like, and it's a lot of money to spend still. You'd still be spending like close to $400 on that thing. Like,
the last two members are priced significantly higher than the others because the Goldbug analog comes with a huge chunk of combiner parts to make the whole thing come together. And Wide Load is significantly bigger than all the other ones.
Wide load, that makes sense.
So if you're buying these things just for the sake of having it, like if you love Goldbug and you want a Goldbug, you don't want all that combiner crap. And who really likes Wide Load? I mean, why would you want to spend significantly more for? I mean, I liked Wide Load. I like dump trucks. You know, he was a dump truck, garbage truck.
Yeah.
An odd choice for a throttle bot, in any case.
Yeah. nobody wants that as a standalone. So I think the subset of people that are actually going to have the combiners were really low. I think production run's going to be much lower with these.
Yeah, I really wonder, too, if the clearance of that last one of the original three was because nobody cared anymore because the releases slowed down so much. It looked like the project was never going to finish. And, you know, at that point when that came out, we knew, okay, these are supposed to be a combiner. We don't know how that's going to work yet, but, you know, they said that they're intended to be a combiner team when they're finished. But then, you know, you get Aurora or Trace, and you go months without another release or any word, and you know interest is going to drop off. Nobody's going to care anymore.
Okay, it's been well over a year at this point, actually, since Trace came out.
Right now,
the only thing that's interesting is if they would have shown this combiner from day one, people would have blown up and like lost their minds because it had additional parts in order to make it a combiner. Like the head is on like a whole piece that you have to put on top of the figure and the joints for the legs and stuff. And no one's really talking about that now because we've waited so long to see this combiner. Everyone's like, oh, it kind of looks good. But I think if they showed it in the beginning, people would have been up in arms about the fact that there's so many parts.
It's definitely a throwback in terms of combiner engineering. It does not even match up to the earliest efforts in this among third parties.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I kind of suspect that half the stuff was not designed at all when they first released Grindrod, and that's why we never saw anything initially or heard about it until one or two more figures were done, and they were sure that they were going to do this along some timeline. But I really would not be surprised with the amount of time this has taken that there was not even finalized designs for the last three when this started.
Okay, let's go ahead and jump to... I think we've talked enough about that because we were here.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so, well,
Brian, can I say one thing?
Is it about that?
Yeah.
No. So let's go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm just going to say this is one thing I think all the third parties need to look at as a warning beacon of how if you have products that are getting delayed, you still need to remind people they exist, put out updates about that when you release information, because the toy world is looking at a possible failure of this project because if no one knows about the Grindrod being released, re-released.
Everyone knows about Grindrod.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm just saying this is a perfect example to me of what third parties need to avoid by getting more information out on these projects that are being pushed back.
Yeah.
I will put one quick counterpoint to that, and that's if you're going to do a multi-part project like this, it depends on having every piece of the set. You don't even start marketing it until everything is designed and you've got physical prototypes for everything.
I question.
Where you know you're going to get your production underway the way it needs to be in a timely manner.
Other than dimensions, I question how much of this was actually designed up front. Because that really off-sized wide load just screams that they had
and completely vestigial gold bug.
Yeah. So let's see here. So, hey. There's lots more news at tformers.com. Rob, why don't you tell us about it?
Okay, well, first up, transformerland.com has posted scans of the 1982 Diaclone catalog, which is the first appearance anywhere of the first of the two car robots that would become Autobot cars, the Lamborghini Countach, which is Sunstreaker, and the one box Cherry Vanette became Ironhide. They've also got translations for the catalog.
Cool.
And I was looking around on their site. I haven't posted the T-Formers, but they also have the 1984 catalog, which has some very early prototype photos of the Dinobots, which are very different from what we actually got. So I love old catalogs, and especially when they have stuff that we never got. So it's worth a look, and they're really big, high-quality scans, too. So next up, we've got I reviewed the Transformers versus G.I. Joe number 5 this week.
Which has been delayed since at least December.
Yeah. And it's good, but it's kind of getting to the point where the visuals are running away with things, and I'm actually getting to the point where I have trouble following it. Which, to be honest, I kind of expected eventually. But it's still a lot of fun. You're still going to see three insane things on every page you'll never see in any other comic. And it's definitely worth looking at.
I still like your one quote from issue 4's review about the use of weapons-grade magenta.
Yes, Killing Rumble with weaponized magenta. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
We've got an interview with Margaret Scott about Combiner Wars. She's talking a little bit more about some of the characters from the Planet Kamenus that will be joining the thing. We've got designs by, I believe, Sarah Stone of the Mistress of Flame, who is the head of the religion, the only religion on Kamenus, I believe, is what we were told. Full interview is on the MarySue.com. We're in the build-up to Combiner Wars, so I expect we're going to see a fair number of these in the coming weeks. Next, we've got images of the Collectors Club Lyo Convoy, which Does it have antennae or not? That's the part I'm not sure on.
Let's take a look. Because I didn't actually get to see this before we started recording.
Yeah.
You know, it really does not look like it does.
Yeah, the captions say it confirms it will have the antennae, but unless they're like sitting on a box somewhere, I don't see them. Doesn't help. There's, you know, a white background behind the head. That's not really helping anything.
You know, unless it's that like they've been redesigned to be the details in there and closer into the head than the original art.
Yeah.
Like, this might represent a design revision, but at this point, it's really too hard to tell exactly what's going on.
Yeah, either way, it does not look as good as the initial version.
I imagine when the fan club actually gets their own production samples in hand, since this is probably from the batch they'll be getting pieces from in the near future, we'll actually get a better look at that.
Yeah. We've also got images of the last two uses of the Seeker mold, G2 Starscream and the Cell in vehicle mode.
God willing.
Yes. Oh, my.
No. I really don't care. I really don't care.
They look decent. They're the 2006 jet. You know, what do you want? And
a new mold.
Yes, that is what we want. And lastly, we have the second round of the fan-built combiner voting. And XV, would you like to take that over? Because I've not actually read that story yet.
In brief form, there is enough questionable about what they're showing and the way they're classifying it in the new round of limb choices, where you get to more specifically decide among the options for what deluxes will contribute to this combiner. There's enough oddities in it that I think new molds are still possible, despite that they're using design models of known toys as general representations of what sort of vehicles they'll be.
Yeah,
I go to some length in the article, but that's the short form. Melvar?
Yeah, the first limb choice is we have the option of selecting a bomber now, and the actual the picture that they have up for the bomber is actually the Silverbolt mold.
Yeah,
for a limb.
Yeah, which
pretty hilarious.
That would be a hellacious combiner.
Yes. So like, wouldn't vote it just- yes.
The other things you can choose from are three sets of colors for the overall color scheme and the origin point of the characters on Cybertron, which is Kaon, the Sea of Rust, and
Iacon.
Thank you.
What if by some crazy way they figured out how to hide like the combining components for like the Voyagers and the Leader class figures? Probably not. Okay.
Like Nikolas?
I mean, hell, I don't know. Let's see here. So yeah, great. That's awesome. Hey, so no break, because I'm trying a couple different things this week.
Something's gone wrong, hasn't it?
Making sauce. No, last week. Last week, because I couldn't download and edit the video Diecast did, because Diecast ran video last week, I just linked to the live stream, and I figured I'm just going to try to do that this week. It made posting the podcast so much easier. That saved me like 3 hours.
Well, and it's useful because there's been no need to censor or edit anything so far. No need to censor. We've all been pretty well behaved.
We have been. Yeah. So the TF boy.
Also, I want to say again, I appreciate you guys all last week, you know, minding your manners and not making extra work for the editing of the show later.
Yeah, especially considering the topic. My goodness.
Yeah.
I know. Imagine that, right?
That was great. So the TF boy from the TFormers.com forums submitted to us a blog post about our favorite game, Transformers Universe Online. None of us played it, so whenever we talked about it, it was pretty obvious. And he was very much into the game, so he pretty much, from start to finish, from inception to its, you know, untimely demise.
If I remember his article correctly, he actually participated in the closed beta.
Yeah, because his
the game was retooled.
Because his computer was under the recommended specs. My problem is my computer was nicely in the specs, so they no need to get me into the game. I would have played it The game would have survived. I would have used my social media influence to save Transformers Universe Online if only Jagex had given me early access. Or not.
If only you got Patrick Stewart involved.
Oh, that was so awesome.
Universe.
That would have been great. You need to get Brian Kilby involved in Transformers Universe Online. He's great. Like three people know what I'm talking about right there. So he basically wrote up this timeline of start to finish, very detailed as to what happened. I told him that we would read it and comment on it, but there's not much left to say. He pretty much summed up every single thing there is about the game. Did anybody take anything away in particular from the blog post that he did?
If you're going to do a game, don't do this.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, just that it was a big a failure as it could ever be. I mean, like, I think, Brian, you're in the same boat as me that we actually went there and got, you know, like a early name and a, you know, figure that we were supposed to be able to play with or character we were supposed to be able to play with. And we were never even contacted about the beta or the game coming out.
I'm pretty sure I didn't even get to play the character that I had created at BotCon 2012.
Yeah, I never played the game, and no one ever contacted me to play the game. Like, I know they had my information. They took all my information at New York Comic Con.
Yeah. I don't want to make this sound like a bitching exercise. It's kind of what it is. But I mean,
I don't think there's anybody left to care about that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there were some deficiencies in the planning and development of the game. It's a shame because it did have a lot of potential. I know a lot of people were excited at the prospect of playing a Transformers MMO. I actually played it for like 5 minutes. It really didn't do anything for me.
Because by that time, they had worked all the MMO part out of it.
Kind of, yeah. It really just didn't do anything for me. And I kind of hate that, because I wanted to like it. No, I'm not going to say it, because too many people just randomly speculate about crap that will never happen. Okay, I'll say it. I want Transformers in, like, a Skyrim-esque Transformers game, but that'll never happen.
No, like, there would be definite potential in an actual MMO game where it's not all just, like, you know, a combat arena all the time.
Go ahead.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Bethesda said that they may have an announcement at E3, and people are speculating that it could be a new Fallout. But I think Bethesda is going to make a Transformers game. No, I really don't.
No, but there's definitely a lot of potential in an open world Cybertron done in the Bethesda style.
God, that'd be awesome. It'd probably suck.
And the thing is too, like, yeah, the main setting could be on Cybertron, but the Transformers universe has space bridges, so you could still have action on Earth or Nebulos or wherever. You know, you could make other places besides Cybertron if, as a player, you're not interested in. Yeah, whatever. Just if you're not interested in hanging around Battle on Cybertron Beast all the time, you know, there is the capacity to introduce other environments, go other places, do different things.
I want a Transformers game with Battle Beasts.
Good luck with that.
I think with that, I probably need to go to bed, so we probably should. It's past my bedtime now that I'm not. Hey, guess what? So Toy Fair this weekend.
Yeah.
Most of the people who listen to this show will probably listen to it after Toy Fair.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Most people listen like the week after.
So watch our recap.
Watch our recap.
Yeah.
Watch our recap. So yeah, that pretty much does it for us. If you are watching it and it's before Valentine's Day 2015, join us on Saturday. We'll be streaming most of the day at tfradio.net/live and at tformers.com. It's going to be awesome. And we hope you will join us. If not, screw you. I'm kidding. I love you. Thank you for listening. Like, no, seriously, I'm not even joking. I'm kind of punchy tonight because I don't know why, because I wasn't on last week. But no, we really do appreciate you listening. It means a lot. It's the reason we do this. Like, I know some people would do this even if nobody listened. But not me. I do it for the fame.
There's some people who do stuff like this even though nobody listened.
I think the average number, I think the average podcast probably doesn't have a lot of listeners. But then there are podcasts like Serial that have lots and lots of listeners. It kind of makes me sick. But most podcasts don't have a lot. It's,
well, people, yeah, podcasts in general. I mean, you know, we should be clear. We're not talking about most Transformers podcasts don't have a lot of audience. Like, just in general, podcasts have a limited range of audience.
Yeah, like Leo Laporte at the Podcasting Expo a couple years ago was talking about how, hey, if your podcast has less than 500 listeners, he's like, you know, look around you. That's more people than are in this room, and there's a lot of people in this room. You know, while the number may not look big in your niche, it could be a pretty substantial group. Yeah. So.
And just from the outsider's point, even if I wasn't on the show, this is the highlight of my week. One of the very few highlights I have to look forward to. And so the numbers may not be there, but the people that are listening are there because they want to be there and they love the show.
Yeah.
So
not talking about our show. He's talking about other shows.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and just, I'm saying in general.
Hey,
Don, speaking of highlights of the week, where's Massey?
He is asleep in the chair. He got mad because he wanted to go out on the lead. I tried to pull him on the harness. He played the old hide and seek, hide and run under this and hide under that and swipe at my arms. And so he knows.
That's not hide and seek, Don. That's hit and run.
So, I mean, he knows he has to wear the harness and the leash when we go outside. He chose to play hide and not go out.
Hit and run.
So now we didn't go out today. So he's pouting in his little pouty chair.
You know, with that set of circumstances, I'm surprised we haven't seen him come flying at your head during the show.
He might later. He may just be saving the energy up for later. I don't know.
He's waiting until you go to sleep, Don.
No, actually,
you're going to have a surprise on the pillow next to you in the morning, Don. I'm
trying to show the picture of this cat on a leash. It's not working there.
The Scottish Fold again?
No, it's a cat on a leash.
Oh.
It doesn't look natural.
It's not. You don't put a cat on a leash.
I think it's great.
Well, generally, you don't walk a cat as if it's a dog either.
If you know, living where I live on a main road and us having bears and coyotes, and
right? You have it be an inside cat.
Yeah, but I'm saying he has to get some exercise or he'll turn into me and be old, fat, and unloved. So I mean, he needs some exercise.
Admittedly, Buddy is like 18 pounds and he never goes outside. So
yeah, I mean, you know, I know it's odd to walk a cat on a leash, but at least he gets some exercise. He gets the grass he needs. He gets to chase field mice to a certain degree, so he gets. Scratches claws on trees and stuff. So
yeah. Okay. So next week on the Cat Fanciers podcast, Scottish Folds, why don't they have ears?
So they do have ears. They're just folded over. Hence the name.
Yes. Thank you very much for listening. We'll catch you later again.
Watch our Toy Fair coverage. Buy our book. From Amazon. From TFRadio/Amazon.
Yeah. There you go. It'll be great. If it is past the Valentine's Day, just go back and watch our coverage. It doesn't matter when you watch it, as long as you watch it, it counts.
It'll still be great, even after the fact.
It'll be awesome. We'll have lots of other Transformers podcasters on there. You'll get a chance to meet some new faces. Get to take some new faces. Yeah.
Give me your face.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, have a good one. See you.
Take care, bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.